Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day?
It is a hump day, and it is a morning in which I find myself always, after I see one of these outrageous deals given in baseball or basketball, I always think of my man Mark Schlereth here and all you other suffering football players who don't have guaranteed contracts and play and live under the specter of being told that you got to take a pay cut. Meanwhile, you look longingly at these other leagues where every single last penny is guaranteed. Gerrit Cole, 9 years, $324 million from the Yankees.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, he says without a touch of envy.
Good for him.
No,
I mean, it's awesome. I think you said it. We're just chatting about it before we came on. It just goes to show you where the Yankees are right now.
Yeah, this is fueled by desperation.
Yeah,
no
doubt. We haven't won in, when was the last time they won a World Series? I mean, it's been a minute.
Well, and I think this past year now represents the longest they've gone without appearing in a World Series since, before Babe Ruth.
It's crazy. So, they're trying to buy themselves one. Although I will say this, and this is one thing I love about teams like Tampa and Oakland that are always competitive and they do it through developing guys through their minor league system and they do it on a shoestring budget. I think the Yankees have two guys on their roster right now that make more money than the entire roster of the Baltimore Orioles. Each guy makes more money than the whole roster of the Orioles. So, the thing I like about it is you can't buy the chemistry that goes with winning. You can't buy the team atmosphere, the esprit de corps, right? You can't buy that.
Yeah.
That has to be naturally developed.
That's why the Rockies are so smart not spending money. They're developing esprit de corps. That's their, I'm going to adopt that. This is the Rockies, and we'll hear from Jeff Breidich coming up during the brew at 6:30. This is what their offseason is. It's the esprit de corps offseason.
Esprit de corps?
It's the esprit de corps offseason.
Because
we're not going to spend money.
No.
Because we're all about developing esprit de corps.
Right. You don't get it. Maybe if you were a rocket scientist.
Maybe if I hung around hospitals more often.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'm not a smart man.
You were doctoring.
Pinky Pete Brain.
You need to get maybe you need to go back to school.
Maybe I do. Pick up that medical degree.
Yeah. How long does that take? A couple weeks?
Yeah.
Can you do that online? Can you be a doctor online?
Sure, why not? Dr. Evans.
Mike Evans.
Doctor.
Online doctor.
Speaking of medical issues, what exactly is a trunk contusion?
That's a bruise on your midsection.
Ah.
Your trunk.
That's what Jamal Murray got. Ran into Ben Simmons last night. And writhing on the floor with a trunk contusion. I give sports credit. They've upped their game when it comes to new ways to describe injuries or, load management.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new one.
Right.
Much better than just the upper body injury.
Yeah. This is the trunk contusion.
This is cool.
Well, yeah, it's kind of right above his hip. Ran into Ben Simmons. Kind of right where if that happened to you, it would pinch your fat.
That's right. I'd have bruised fat.
He'd have a fat contusion. He's got a trunk contusion.
He's got bruised back fat.
Bruce back fat.
He's got to be out 2 to 4 weeks.
You sound like bacon. It's bruised back fat.
Hey, you mind lopping off a little bit of that?
Dude, yeah.
Throw it on the stove there. Let's cook that up.
Mm-hmm.
So a trunk contusion.
Yeah. So, boy, was he writhing on the floor,
right?
Oh, my
goodness. Lord have mercy. When I saw it, actually. I got to see it. They were on TV last night.
Wow, who knew?
They were on TNT. Thank you, TNT.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, trunk contusion. It's pretty serious. But he was like, you know what he reminded me of? A soccer player.
He was writhing.
Yeah.
There was some serious soccer writhing going on there.
If only we had that magic spray or water bottle. Be healed right now,
but we
don't have it.
That's right.
They only have it in soccer.
Only in soccer. So they have those magical, mystical powers of healing.
Right.
Well, Drew Lock is entirely healthy right now, which is awesome. And he's balling out right now. And naturally, that makes John Elway happy and proud.
Well, he did it on the road against a good football team. I think that, it was something that, going on, it's crowd noise, dealing with the crowd noise. But really did a nice job. And team played very well around him. You know, offensively, offensive line did a nice job. And Noah had a great game, played very well, made some big plays. And so it was an all-around good game. And, it was good to see Drew take that next step.
Do you think Locke's immediate success and how he has energize the entire fan base will perhaps make John want to stay on longer and continue to do this longer, see this through?
Get back to me after the end of the year, get back to me after this Kansas City game to see how these guys play. Can they build on that? Yeah, anybody can play really well for a week. Can you stack weeks upon weeks upon weeks upon weeks? Those are the things that you have to ask yourself. Like, is that sustainable? Can you go through a game plan where you aren't making, you aren't making a bunch of physical and mental errors? You aren't costing yourself opportunities to be aggressive because of all those execution errors. Take me through that week. Can you stack these weeks back to back? Can you do those things? Because this is like last week was the first week. They got a win the other week, but the defense played exceptionally well. They made some big plays. I mean, come on. I mean, how often are you going to make that Courtland Sutton catch in the end zone? Like, how often are you going to make some of those plays? So you've got to understand that they did a phenomenal job of winning that game against the Chargers. Last week they went in and they executed exceptionally well and they hung 31 in the first half. I mean, like you cannot count on that. So let's see what they do in this week coming up against Kansas City.
Seems like you're going to great lengths to tamp down the Lock hysteria out there. I don't know if Broncos country is going to react well to this today.
No, you don't want to use like actual common sense. And
this is a hungry fan base that's been waiting a long time for a quarterback to burst on the scene like this.
Hey, he's played, he played great and he improved from week one to week two. That's awesome. That is awesome. But again, let's see how it plays out. Okay. Before we anoint.
Chugga chugga, Drew.
I know the Hardy Boys.
They are on the case right now.
Right. That's right.
To infinity and beyond.
They're snooping around.
They're snooping around Skull Island.
Yeah. Driving around in the mystery machine.
No, that's, you're confusing. You're confusing the Hardy Boys.
I don't know Scooby-Doo. I didn't grow up in those times. That is 100%.
No.
Gotcha.
No, you are too.
No,
you are too flighty.
No,
to be
don't.
For me to know what is really or what is just you not knowing things.
Oh,
so
that was a winner chicken dinner. You're sorry. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry.
I'll be here all week.
Sorry.
What would you say you do here?
Is winning games down the stretch more important now than draft position? That's next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.
Well, Mark, your refusal to jump on the chugga 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 Drew chugga chugga train.
Well, why would you say that I refuse to jump on that?
Well, here we go. Mike, you doing the show with Vic Fangio this morning or what? Once again, Mark takes a giant dump on the sliver of hope on Bronco Country. Someone heat that man a Christmas cookie. Cheer him up a bit.
I'm excited about Drew Locke.
Mark just wants to pump the brakes after he wanted to back the truck up for Trevor Siemian after a couple of games.
That's good. That's a good observation. You might be a little bit...
gun shy?
Yeah. Well, you
goaded me into going all in on Trevor, and now you've ruined me. You're
you're betting scared money.
Yeah. You just ruined me. You browbeat me to the point where I said something really stupid. And now I'm like, my guard is up. I'm guarded, Mike.
You are guarded.
I'm guarded. Hey, man, I'm excited about Drew Locke. He's looked great. He has looked great. So I'm excited about it. But, like, I'm also going to be a realist this time around.
Yeah, but you have to. And I like Siemian, too. And I certainly was Team Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
I like you a lot.
But, come on, you just watch this guy play, and you see that there's a lot more there.
Yeah, you know, his ability... He's got an ability to do something that the other quarterbacks recently haven't had. And let's throw Paxton Lynch out of this conversation because he's not a quarterback. He's a video game player. Okay, so let's just throw him smear campaign.
Yeah, that's
what day?
That's now day 1724, yeah. I believe.
Right. So we'll just throw him out of the conversation. Drew Locke has got the ability, Mike, when things break down, to make something happen. And I think that has become such a part of the National Football League right now, especially with what Lamar Jackson, and I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson-esque. I mean, Lamar Jackson is he's one of one athletically when it comes to what he can do. He's a generational athlete. Like Michael Vick before. And when I had one coach tell me, hey, he's just like Michael Vick, only a better athlete. Like when you hear that, it's like, what? Like it's shocking, right? So, but I do think that what Lamar Jackson is doing and the RPO games, and what a quarterback that can run can do for the edge of a defense, holding the constriction of a defense, the defensive end, holding back the outside linebackers, even holding back the safeties as they come fill the alley. Like they're hesitant. You know, in the old saying, he who hesitates is lost. Like you hesitate for a half second and all of a sudden that back goes from a 2-yard gain to a 12-yard gain. So
I think people more now than ever are seeing those second reaction plays. The fact that your guys on the back end can't plaster, you know, they cannot. It's hard when things break down. You can't cover for 4 seconds, 5 seconds. And he has got that ability, and he still continues to focus down the football field, you know, to complete passes, but he can take off too. So I do think that there is excitement about this quarterback.
So we know that there will be adversity. There will be bumps. It happens to every quarterback, mm-hmm. I guess, except for, you know, Patrick Mahomes, who hasn't really, other than injury.
Showtime!
He has not been as good this year.
Yeah, but how much of that is because of the injury?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some of that for sure.
But, okay, barring a Mahomes type ascension here for Locke, he's going to have those games where it's just, that was rough, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, knowing what's potentially out there, knowing some of the minefields that he's going to have to navigate,
mm-hmm.
What would be the reason why he wouldn't be able to come out from that, you know, stronger, better, and unscathed, and you know, go on and be the guy here? Why wouldn't he be able to handle that? When you look at the quarterbacks that burst out on the scene,
mm-hmm.
have this kind of debut, then get faced with that inevitable adversity, and don't seem to recover from it.
Right.
What would stop him from being able to do this?
I think, like, what stops you is probably yourself. Confidence. Your confidence wanes. Maybe you get beat up. Maybe you take a couple of shots that you just don't want to ever take again. That type of thing. You know, where you're unprotected or you don't see it coming. Like, I think, and that goes over time. I think if it happens enough to you, Mike, and that's not one, like, a one game thing. That's when it happens to you over and over again. I think then you get to the point where you're beat up and you get a little bit of, you get a little shy. You don't want to get hit like that anymore. But I think the confidence is the big thing. How you talk to yourself. You know, as opposed, I heard this on Monday Night Countdown with that, who's a deep snapper that's written the books now as a magic guy, John Doron Boss or something like that?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. The name doesn't come to mind.
He said something the other day. They said, just sum up your book in one sentence. And he goes, you got to learn to quit listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. And I thought it was really profound. Because oftentimes when you listen to yourself, yourself is telling you, oh, you're not good enough, or you're not smart enough, or you're not whatever enough. You're not pretty enough. You're too chubby. You get sausage fingers. Whatever your brain says to you.
Wow, someone's filling his oats. You know, he got me on an oh really, which I guess based on what people are telling me, yeah. This counts.
Yes,
so,
it does.
Fine.
It does.
This changes the game moving forward, by the way. Yes, it does.
Oh, is that a threat?
Yeah, it is kind of a threat. Yeah, be ready. Okay?
Be on guard.
Keep your head on a swivel, Mark Schlereth.
All right.
All right. So, well, every time you say something stupid, I'm just going to let it. I'm just going to let it go.
Are you?
I'm just going to let everybody just bathe in it. Linger. I'm going to let them linger. To linger.
Some okay. Nudie jammies.
Okay, boomer.
Every time you say it.
Yes. All right. Morning Brew is coming up next. A lot of ground to cover. We got more from John Elway. Can the Nuggets pull a page from what the Avalanche have been able to do? And we hear from Dr. Jeff Breidich. All that coming up next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
It's gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What? Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
Well, I mean, I think we see that physically he can play in the NFL and has a chance to be a very good quarterback. We'll just have to take it one step at a time and see how he continues to improve. But obviously, with what we've seen in the first two games, it's not too big for him, and we'll continue to take strides each week. But we're excited that we're, you know, see where Drew is, obviously.
You know, there's so many different angles now to this whole Drew Locke bursting on the scene the way that he has. One of them is, do you look entirely different now at the decision to trade back from that 10th spot, which for most of the year we criticized as we watched the play of Devin Bush in Pittsburgh and the struggles of Noah Fant and Drew Locke being on the sidelines. Now, coming off what we saw this past weekend, Locke, Fant, and knowing there's still a third round pick out there still to be used from that trade, do you look entirely different at that decision to move back?
No, because I was a fan of moving back in the first place, simply because I thought you needed, and I still think, you need more depth. I think you need better players. And so, you know, you're going to miss in the draft. That is going to happen.
Because
the draft's a crapshoot.
Thank you.
But, you know, you have to, the problem with the Broncos is they've missed too much, especially in the first three rounds. They've been, and I don't know how they compare. You know, we always say that we should do a breakdown study of like in the last 5 years, how many times they've missed compared to everybody else. Maybe I just have, you know, fan bias toward, you know, what has happened here, but it seems as though they've just missed too much. Maybe they haven't missed any more than anybody else, which would really tell you how crappy of a crapshoot this is.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Harris backing up on Jokic, trying to cross him over into the lane. Goes by him, left-hand hook is good. Tobias on an angle drive from the right perimeter into the lane with a left-hand runner, and good. Clutch bucket by Harris.
76ers radio right there as Philadelphia beats the Nuggets last night, 97-92. The story, Jamal Murray went out after only playing 5 minutes, got into a collision with Ben Simmons, and went down on the floor, writhing in pain, gripping his side, his kind of kidney, hip area. Mm-hmm. It was later ruled a trunk contusion. First time I've ever heard that one. Leave it to the NBA, right, that gave us load management to also give us trunk contusion. But, hey, are the Nuggets, if Murray's going to be out for any extended amount of time, are they going to be able to take a page from their Pepsi Center brethren, the Avalanche, who have excelled this year despite being without Mikko Rantanen, Gabe Landeskog, now Cale Makar? You think the Nuggets are up to the task if Murray's going to be out for a while?
Oh, yeah. I think the way they play, I mean, obviously Jokic is going to have to play better. He's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to throw the team on his shoulders occasionally. And he's going to have to carry them. Maybe this is what he needs. Maybe he needs a little bit of, this is more on you. I mean, I heard Tony Dungy driving in this morning talking on, you know, Wingo and Golic and talking about, hey, when you have those injuries, you got to lean on your other guys. They've got to come to the forefront and they've got to play better. They've got to pick up the slack. So that's something he's got to do.
Well, Will Barton stepped up certainly at 26 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. I think the guy that stands out to me is Gary Harris, who has been a disappointment this year. When we did our predictions for this season, you know, I felt that this was the year that Gary Harris had to, you know, start looking like an all-star.
Uh-huh.
And he has not done that. He has been a disappointment thus far. And for the kind of money he's getting paid and the expectations we've had for him, he needs to step up his game. He needs to do more. And maybe this, if Jamal Murray is going to be out for any extended amount of time, it'll give Harris that chance to do more. See how he handles it. Next on the Morning Bro.
Poor play, bad health. And, you know, I think there was a little bit of, you know, internal and external expectation. You know, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. I know I did. That wasn't, you know, ultimately beneficial to us. And so, you know, we thought we were going to build off of the consecutive playoff appearances and take that next step. It didn't happen. You know, now our job is to make sure we learn from it and get better from it.
Well, good news, Jeff Breidich. There'll be no pressure on you next year. Expectations will be low after what happened this past season and after what looks to be another offseason in which the Rockies just kind of sit this one out on the sidelines. That was Breidich yesterday at the baseball winter meetings on XM Radio.
Can you really learn from it? Can you? What do you learn? What do you learn? Back-to-back playoff appearance. appearances, and now we didn't meet the expectations, so we can sit back and learn from it. But what are you going to learn?
What are you going to learn? Make better decisions on your bullpen? Don't overpay for Jake McGee and...
I mean, I'm serious. Like, what, like...
Ryan Shaw?
Like, what are we going to learn? You're going to learn you need better players?
What are you going to do about it?
Right. I mean, it's not about learning. It's about doing. Number one, you can't learn because you're a doctor.
Right.
You know everything.
You know everything already.
Right.
I mean, I'm actually really surprised that he came out and said that he might be in a position to learn something from this, because clearly he knows it, everything.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So...
I just want to know, hey, I'm all for it. Let's sit back and let the learning begin. Go. Here I go. I'm going to just learn some stuff.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to learn. Learning.
Needless to say, low expectations for what the Rockies are going to be doing this offseason?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say, yeah.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, we've never, as a coaching staff, and I personally have never viewed any video footage at all, anything that those production people have done, you know, other than what's shown on public television or something like that. But we don't have anything to do with what they do, so I really don't have much knowledge of the situation at all.
So that was Bill Belichick yesterday on with Cincinnati media, denying any involvement with the with the guy doing the video who was caught taping the Bengals sideline during the game against Cleveland on Sunday. How big of a deal is this? I mean, I've heard some people say that, you know, the Patriots deserve the college football equivalent of the, you know, the death penalty here. Whatever that is going to look like.
You know, I
bar them from being, right. Basically give them like an NCAA type ban, you know, postseason ban. You know, you can play the rest of the season, but you're not allowed to be in the postseason type stuff.
I vacillate back and forth because there's things about this, Mike, that, like, come on, if you know you're in deep trouble and you know the NFL is watching you, you're one of the smartest people in football, are you really going to go down that road again? Like, you really going to risk that? And what are you truly going to garner from sideline film? Now everything, it's not hand signals anymore. Everything goes through. I mean, everybody still has the hand signals in case the headsets break, but everything goes through the headset. So how much information are you really going to glean from that? And the truth of the matter is probably not a whole lot. But then again, I sit there and say, hey, you know, if like guys, white collar crime guys who, you know, steal from people, right? They have enough money. They continue to steal. Why? Because that's what they do. That's who they are, right? Like that, like if you are constantly looking for an edge and you're constantly pushing the envelope and you're constantly doing that and that's your organizational mantra, like why do you stop all of a sudden? If that's what you've always done, are you going to stop? Like I'm fickle. Mike, I'm fickle.
You know, I'm getting tired of it. I'm just tired of it. If they were that either A, stupid / arrogant to do this, and the NFL investigation, you know, finds that this is the same old, I am completely on board with whatever punishment is given to them. I think we're all getting just tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if there was something to this, then yeah, drop the hammer on them. I think we're all tired of it. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Got some breaking Bronco news we'll get to you coming up, as well as with everything going on with Drew Lock. There is kind of a forgotten guy in all of this. And what do these recent developments mean for him? That's next. Boy, the good times continue to roll out of that big Broncos win over the Texans the other day. How about this? Broncos safety Kareem Jackson named AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
How good is that? That's the first one, right?
First one for him.
Ooh, first one for him, but that's the first one of anybody on our team that's gotten, right?
Like he's also the first Bronco to be named AFC Defensive Player of the Week since Von Miller did it last year, week 11. He had 11 tackles, one interception, three passes defensed, and a fumble return 70 yards for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Three passes defensed or defended?
Probably. I was looking over there when you said that because I thought you were going to, but this is just grammar, so it doesn't count as a, oh, really? I think defended, passes defended.
Hey, I'm just reading from the...
Defense?
I'm reading from the actual release.
I guess
okay,
you
hey, listen,
them.
If you want to call out Shub, that's fine. He wrote it.
You think he wrote it, or you think it's... Do you think the league writes it, and he just, like, cuts and pastes?
I think he wrote it.
Three passes defensed.
No, I think that works.
Defensed. Yeah, that works, right? Defensed.
He becomes just the third player in NFL history with at least 10 tackles, a fumble return for a touchdown, and an interception in a single game. First since Brian Urlacher did it back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a man on a mission the other day.
I know.
The hits he was done. And did you think that some of those hits were going to be flagged? I did. I become so conditioned to
right,
those kind of hits being outlawed that, especially the one over the middle on DeAndre Hopkins, I was convinced was going to get a flag.
Yeah, which it shouldn't have.
Of course it shouldn't have, but there are plenty of hits that shouldn't get flagged that get flagged.
Right. Yeah, I did. I did. I'm always looking for anytime something big happens, anytime a big hit happens. So I was watching. It depends on the crew, too. It depends on the crew you get. What they flag most of the time. I was watching a couple of helmet-to-helmets. So I was just on tackles that, between Detroit and Minnesota last week, and ridiculous helmet-to-helmet calls on in-the-box play, like four-yard runs.
Yeah.
It was the most ludicrous.
On the defensive guys.
On the defensive guys.
Remember when they said they were going to call them on the offensive guys? For lowering their helmets?
Well,
thankfully that hasn't.
Yeah, that crew should be embarrassed for the calls they made in that game. I mean, just embarrassed. But, you know, it's funny. I had, Bruce Arians tell me there's crews that will let you play, and then there's crews, and you've got to scout all, they'll spend more time scouting the crews than scouting the team sometimes. Like what they call, what they don't call, and then try to adjust accordingly. Like kind of the inside part of the game that you never think about. You're actually scouting your officiating crew. How about that?
And I'm not pinning anything on Kareem Jackson, but it's just, again, this was another example of why you roll your eyes that whenever a guy is going back to play against the team that cut him loose and they say, oh, it's just another game. And you're like, roll your eyes.
Yeah,
come on. That guy was just.
He's on a mission.
Yes.
Right?
They all are.
Sure.
Just admit it. Yeah. They let me go. I didn't think I could play anymore.
Irritates me.
Darn right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going in there with something to prove.
Right. That's what it should be. Good for him.
Joe Flacco. The forgotten man in all this. What's his future? Does he have a future here?
Not here.
Why not?
Why?
You're already paying him. Why not have him here as a veteran backup? Do you see Joe Flacco being able to start in this league anymore? And again, you were telling me that he was playing great.
He was for the first 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah, do I see
so
him?
You think there'll be a starting market for him next year in the NFL?
I think there will be a team that would be interested in Joe Flacco to come in and compete for a starting job, yes.
But again, that's not the question. The question is, yeah, you could come in and start, perhaps, but there's also a good chance you'll be a backup. He came here with the idea that he was going to be the starter.
Right.
You see him being given that opportunity. Because if he's not, and he's staring at a future of being a backup in this league, why not here?
Yeah, that is a good, I just don't feel like he's gonna want to stay here to be Drew Lock's backup. Just don't feel like that's
would he be okay with being a backup somewhere else?
if he had a legitimate chance to come in and compete for a job, then yeah, I think he would. If he lost that legitimate chance, I do think that the, you know, the mobile quarterback or the guy that can run is becoming more and more a prerequisite for offensive coaches. They want to have that kind of that element in their offense. So,
I just don't see a place. I'm quickly scanning the entire league. I don't see a place where he'd be a fit. Because you're looking at teams that either have an established quarterback, are trying to develop a young quarterback, or will already be in the market for going out and getting a young quarterback. So I guess he could be,
all right,
he could be in one of those Case Keenum type roles where, hey, yes,
Miami,
you're going to be the starter.
Keenum, there's the interception.
Right. But with the understanding that you're just keeping the seat warm.
You're grooming. What about Miami? You're committed to Ryan Fitzpatrick or...
I thought they're going to unleash Josh Rosen.
Are they unleashing the Kraken? Now, Cincinnati's going to go get themselves a young quarterback, right?
Probably Burrow, yeah.
But what if they want that veteran guy? But you're right, they're going to go get themselves a young quarterback. Is Tennessee going to pay Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I think they will. Plus, Andy Dalton will probably be out there.
Yep.
And if you're looking for a... Hold on. All right, you might as well give me them. Give them all to me. One more. I'd rather have Andy Dalton than Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
So Joe's staring at a career as a backup, spot starter. So why not here?
What about Tampa?
Well, you tell me. You're on the Tampa beat of late. What are they going to do with Jameis Winston? Think they bring him back?
I think they're going to. I feel like they're going to have to.
I think they're going to have to.
But, like, remember, Bruce Arians did really well, and his team did really well with a guy like Joe Flacco. It was Carson Wentz, and he loves to push the ball down the field. Does that give you a little bit more stability? You draft a young guy. And you bring in, you don't retain Winston and you bring in Flacco.
Something to talk about, something to discuss. Reaction from you on the Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Coming up next, as we head into this Kansas City game and the final three games of the season, is winning games down the stretch more important now than draft position? That's next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.